Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
There's a rock, there's a God like our God.
Cheer. Dear Lord, we just come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to return and to hear your word, Lord, and to learn from it. And we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear your words, so that we gain their understanding and the wisdom from them, Lord. So that we may learn that we can walk on this earth and be as you and do your work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
And we offer unto you
the sacrifices of thanksgiving.
And we offer unto you
the sacrifices of joy.
We bring
bright sunny day out here in West Texas. A little humid. We've been having a lot of storms and rain. But praise the Lord, our stock tank's filled again.
Amen.
So I'd like everyone to turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now Paul is writing this to the Philippians, and he is confident, he trusts, and he believes that God will continue to perform all the good work he has started in them until the day of Jesus Christ, and that's the day that Jesus returns. Are we confident? Do we believe and trust God that he will continue to perform the work in each one of the people in this church? Do we pray for the people in this fellowship? And do we trust God? That's the bottom line. Do we trust God to continue? We have all seen God move in each one of us. We have seen his mighty power. We have seen the changes in each of us. Yes, we all have a lot to learn. We all have a lot to do. We have a lot to get rid of, a lot of areas to grow in. But we have seen God working in each one of us. Do we trust God to continue to do that work? And yes, when he shows us things within ourselves that we need to take care of, whether we have to change it, get rid of it, that's between him and you. But we think, oh no, not again. And we work and we keep our eyes on him and trust him to help us overcome the things that we need to get rid of in our lives. And then we do, we take a deep breath and we relax. And then the Lord shows us something else. And we say, oh no, not again. But you know, the Lord is merciful. If he showed each of us everything in our lives that we had to change, that we had to get rid of, all at once, we'd give up. We'd give up and just say, there's no way. I'm going to hell. But because his mercy and grace, he only shows us those things one at a time that we can handle. And then he gives us the ability to deal with each one of those and to overcome. Now, I'm confident that God is working in each and every one of us, each and every one of you, and he'll continue to do that until the day of Jesus Christ. That may mean the day we die and go to meet the Lord. For us, that is the day of Jesus Christ. Or it can mean, as if we're still here, when he returns. But we need to have confidence that he will continue to work in our brothers and sisters. But we also have to have confidence that he's working with us. Each individual, he's working with me. And he's going to continue to perform that until I go to meet him. I can't give up. I can't turn my back on him. I have to trust him and have faith in him and depend on his grace and his mercy. As each of you out there listening also have to have trust and depend on him for his grace and mercy, because he is not slack in that. He is willing to pour out his mercy and his grace on us. We keep our eyes on him and just trusting him that he will continue to work in each one of us till we are capable of standing before him and being able to stay with him once we get to heaven. It's a falsehood that once you get to heaven, you'll be changed and you'll be perfect and you'll never, ever have to deal with the things that you deal with now. No, when we get to heaven, we're going to be exactly the way we were when we die. We have the same attitudes, the same mindsets. We're going to be exactly that way when we go to heaven. And unfortunately, in reading the scriptures, you find that once you get there, you can be kicked out. You can be sent to hell. That one's a hard one to swallow. And that's one of those that people say, oh no, it can't be. But it is in the scriptures. But we put our eyes on him and we trust in him. And we work, and it is work, to put off the old man, to bring the flesh under subjection. We can stand in our walk here on earth, and we will be able to stand in our walk in heaven. I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I also like to say, hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul had faith that he would continue to work with the Philippians. And I have faith that he'll continue to work with each one of us. We can't give up. We can't throw up our hands and say it's too hard. He only shows us those things that we can deal with, that we can correct, that we can put off. And when we can do that, we're stronger because we have. And then he shows us something else. And maybe it's harder, but we're stronger because we have defeated the flesh in that first one, or that second one, or that 20th one, or that 100th one. You can't give up. Know that he is there to help you. He will provide people in your lives to help you overcome these things. Your brothers and sisters in your Lord, your disciples, your elders. He provides those people to help us overcome this flesh, to put off that old man. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on him and know he will continue to work in your life, to bring you to that place where you need to be and where you can stand against all the turmoil, the tribulation that's coming against Christians in this country today. He's going to give you the ability to stand and to stand strong. And that will translate in the ability to stand strong in heaven. Just don't give up. Keep your eyes on him. Have faith. Trust in him. And know that he will continue to perform that good work in you that he's already started when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. He started right then and there. So don't quit. Don't give up. Know that he loves you and he's rooting for you to continue on. And as our brothers and sisters should be rooting for each other and supporting each other in this walk. So don't quit. Don't give up.
Praise the Lord. Whoo! That's interesting that this past week and so far in two services, Colossians 3 has shown up. The other night I was actually laying down and just dozing off to sleep when I kind of was awoken with the thought of Colossians 3 on the forefront of my mind. And it's amazing that I sat up and read it, and then I read it, followed along listening to it, that it completely got addressed today. And I praise the Lord for it. It's just, when the word comes to you and you hear it, go find it. Because if you don't go find it, you're going to miss what the Lord is trying to provide for you that day. So this morning I asked the Lord for another direction, because I didn't think I could add anything to it. That's a yes and no. Because first, let's go over to Colossians 3:1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is an instruction. That is the direction that we are to go. Because the things of this earth are nothing. They're tools that can lead to heaven or to hell, depending on how you use them and which ones you choose. The ones that you choose that bring life, that extend grace, that give mercy, allow people to receive peace from God the Father. The ones leading to destruction are the ones that tear people down, not in a godly fashion, ones that make them despair. Ones that destroy their will to continue to move on. Ones that take a new Christian who wants to believe and tears them apart because now all of a sudden there's a group of rules that say, well, now you're a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that, your hair's got to be like this, and you got to dress like that. Those are the tools of the devil. Those are the tools of Satan that will lead you straight to hell. Turn to Philippians 2 and 9. Because there's another direction here that we need to hear, that we need to understand, so that we can be good servants and loyal servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name above, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. The word tells us all the steps, the exact way to go, how to act, what to do, how to attain the grace, mercy, and peace from God, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who walked on this earth and showed all of these things to his disciples. And that's where we are supposed to be. But if you think that you are guaranteed, then you are fooling yourself. But if you think to yourself, what happened if I died right now? If I fell over this second? Do you have that assurance? Are you so confident that you think that you can go to heaven and remain in there with your mindset as it is today? If that is what you think, you need to get back into the Word of God. As Ann said, the Scriptures tell us you can sin again in heaven. You cannot put Jesus Christ back on the cross. There is no forgiveness once you are there. So work out your salvation in your own mind with fear and trembling. You notice that the apostles, when Jesus reappeared to them, didn't even recognize him. And when he appeared before Paul, the Apostle Paul, he didn't know who he was. Yet he had been persecuting the church the whole time. And when he found out who he was, he fell down to the ground with his face to the ground in fear. That fear is, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know which direction you're going to go. The true fear you're speaking about here is the same as a small child has when their father screams out their name. It's kind of a fear of the unknown because you're not sure what is going to happen. That is the kind of fear that you need to have, because the day will come in an instant where you are going to be standing right before Jesus Christ in the flesh, in the new flesh, in a new body. And hopefully he's going to say to you, come in, good and faithful servant. Now, what's Philippians have to do with this? Well, there's a few deals if we go down here a little further. On 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's if you are his. The next line is so important. And the next line is one of the most difficult that people have to deal with every day. Do all things without murmurings and disputes, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's tough sometimes. That's tough sometimes within this ministry. I find it hard sometimes to go and do without sitting there going, all right, you're going to be honest. Do we find this? I imagine Margie every once in a while when she's in there getting ready to fix a meal has got a little bit of going on. And I'm sure Corey from time to time. Yeah. Anne, myself, Cheryl. These are all things we have to fight against constantly and daily. But why do we need to learn how to do this? So that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, those last two words right there really have meaning today, don't they? This nation is going there lock, stock, barrel, and running for it full blast like it's a finish line. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That means when Ann comes up here and puts out the word that the Lord has given her, that it hasn't been in vain. That means when I've put out the word of the Lord, that it has not been in vain, that you have not heard it. That's why I always pray for the Lord to show us the wisdom and enlighten us and open our eyes and our hearts at the beginning. Because these words don't just affect who I'm talking to right now in front of me. These words affect me. These words have meaning to me. They show me correction. They show everyone the correction and the direction. And I pray every time that my words not be in vain, that they do not fall on deafened ears, that those who want to know the truth can have the truth, that they can walk with Jesus, that it is possible to be like Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're standing here before me or you're hearing it online a year from now. I praise God every day when I finish service because of what He shows me and what I hope He shows you. Hear the words. Look them up. Read them for yourself. And praise the Lord. Amen.
Every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every breath I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, I hate ending these things. I wish we could continue day and night. But I thank you, Lord, that we can continue day and night, each individually in ourselves. I thank you, Lord, for the visitors who were out this past week. And I thank you for their safe journey to their homes. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over Robin and Davy as they return home, for keeping the roads safe before them. And Father, I thank you most of all for the words that you've delivered to us today. And I thank you, Lord, for walking with us and for being with us, Lord, as we go out into this perverse world. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.